covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Pay your tolls. Don't forget. Make sure you get that transponder up there. Brewers take the opener against the Cubs by a 6-2 final score today. Brewers have now got off to a 4-0 start against the Cubs in the regular season series. They are the fastest team to 50 wins in franchise history. And Jacob Mizrowski, despite a little bit of a spray on his command, a lot of long battles, managed to get through six strong, another quality start, his ninth in a row, and then the Brewers reward him with a three-run bottom of the sixth to give him the win, and the Brewers finish the rest of the way against the Bullpens. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio. Let's just start there first before we get into Miz, though, Craig. I mean, 50 wins. I mean, that's fast. I mean, the Brewers to be at 50 wins before the halfway mark. Today was game number 79 for the crew. I mean, fastest ever been by three games, I believe, is the number. So we said leaving spring training, you know, this team's pretty darn good, you guys. And now they're breaking records by some, you know, we're talking 2011 Brewers. We're talking 82 Brewers. We're talking, you know, maybe the most famous teams in franchise history.
Yeah. And, you know, Dom, they're still doing it at, and they're not at full strength. They're still battling all the injuries and trying to get their pitching staff back together healthy-wise. They've moved some players around. They've got Cooper Pratt now at shortstop. A lot of things, you know, in the broadcast tonight, I think it was, you know, from beginning to end, it was kind of highlighted, if we all watched it together, what the Cubs were going through injury-wise. And it was really never brought up what the Brewers have gone through injury-wise, really since spring training, opening day, first month of the season, and on, that this team hasn't been fully healthy altogether for much of the season yet. You know, the Dodgers are losing right now to the Padres, and so if you just look at the standings just short of July 1st, I know you're kind of big on that July 1st marker for that. If we go into tomorrow, the way things stand tonight, the Brewers are at 633 and the Dodgers would be at 634 as far as winning percentage in all of baseball. So kudos to the crew. I mean, this is some pretty phenomenal stuff that we're witnessing here, and certainly a lot has to do with the guy starting tonight and Jacob Mizrowski. There's no question about that.
I mean, he is the headliner. I thought Apple TV Plus had a really good note over there on the television side for Ryan Spielborgs, their television analyst. You know, he did his, you know, scouting report of what goes into the game, and he called, I mean, Summerfest, Jacob Mizrowski, he's the headliner. He's the guy that everybody wants to talk about, analyze, and, you know, a fine-tooth comb through every single start. So let me start, Craig. I mean, when you look at the line, independent from what the rest of this game went, like independent of the score, again, starting the day with six innings, two hits, one run, one homer, a solo homer, four walks and eight strikeouts to say, hey, he's going to walk four, but he's only going to give up one on a solo homer, and he's going to get through six innings and throw a season-high 107 pitches. Every single person would take that. And then watching the way he did it today, you know, if you want to, like, assess what letter grade he had for his stuff and his effectiveness, I know we all got enamored with 105.5. He didn't really cruise at 102 today. He was cruising at 100 today. The cutter was center stage. I kind of give it, like, a C+. And the fact that his C+ game is a quality start, we've seen what the A+ game looks like, and now we see the C+, and it's still pretty darn good.
Well, I mean, they all amount to wins is what they do. And even with the team trailing at that point after the solo home run in the fifth inning, which is pretty remarkable at that point. I mean, to me, I think it's great that he goes 105.5 and it's the third fastest pitch tracked ever. I mean, that's great. But to me, I look at the four walks, which is uncharacteristic for him. And we may not see that again this season because we're halfway through this, and it was a season high. We may not see that again, but just the fact that overall, you're right, he had C+ stuff tonight. But he, with that, who could put you in a better position to still win a game right now? the fact that it's a 1-0 game, and the Brewers were on the cusp of being on the wrong end of a triple play and end up taking the lead one batter later, to me, it's still because of the guy in the mound. And it's not that way every single night. This is why this guy is special.
I think the way that the Brewers look at it is that as long as Jacob Mizrowski is on the mound, the Brewers feel like they have a chance to win. And not only do they have a chance to win, quite frankly, Craig, I think the Brewers know they're going to win when Jacob Mizrowski is on the mound.
Exactly.
And even down 1-0, even struggling, and him getting through that bases loaded jam, I thought that was really cool. Again, it wasn't like the full Colorado scene where we see him shouting at it. I go, no, I'm good. And there was a smaller version of it with Chris Hook, but I think deep down, the Brewers were always planning on giving Jacob Mizrowski the at-bat against Ian Happ. He really struggles against velocity. He really struggles against fastballs. But then to know you have the righty ready to go in Kunal for the righty on deck. But the way I look at that sixth inning is that this offense, with that near triple play in the bottom of the sixth inning, you know, they get the first two guys on. You're like, all right, yeah, this is going to be the moment. And the air got let out of the balloon for a brief moment. But I think that it was reinflated, I guess I should say, like heading to the bottom of that sixth inning because of the Miz punch out, because of the excitement. The crowd rose to its feet, met the moment, right? Sometimes the offense right now is in this deflating scheme that it's in right now. And when it gets really deflated, it's like, oh my gosh. But well, hey, you know what? Miz gave us a chance, and the Brewers are finding ways to win games that, quite frankly, for 5 or 6 innings at a time, their offense is disappearing. But thanks to Miz, he's also keeping the opponent's bats down.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and everything does start with Miz. There's no question about that. But after that, you know, from game to game, just the fact that the Brewers are still able to stay in these ball games, even if it's tight, even if they're down, I still say it all starts with Miz. I mean, look who's pitching tomorrow night. You know, Harrison's pitching tomorrow night, and he talks endlessly about taking pride in following what Miz is able to do and taking every pitch that Miz throws and learning something about that and game situations. This staff right now is built around this kid, and we may have started seeing that, but we're really witnessing something, you know, of greatness for where this entire staff is going. And you need an elite player, and you don't get them very often, but you need an elite player to say to the other 4 starters or 5, 6, who's ever in that rotation from time to time, and then the bullpen to top it off. You need a guy like this, and they're incredibly lucky to have this kid, but they also developed him. So, I mean, the whole kudos to everybody in this thing right now, but he is clearly the leader. There is no doubt about that.
And furthermore, for Miz, to do it today with just 2 pitches, right? He only threw 11 breaking balls out of the 107 pitches he threw, 64 four-seamers, 32 cutters, which was a season high. Again, there are other things that he is getting better at. And one of the things he's getting better at is trying to read swings and trying to understand what they're sitting on. They were sitting on breaking balls. I mean, look at Seiya Suzuki hitting a home run on a slider that wasn't a hanger, right? I think that indicates, okay, they're sitting on breaking balls and they're sitting on fastballs. How can I throw a wrinkle? And the fact that he threw the cutter as much as he did today indicates that. He did not allow a single hit on that cutter on 7 balls in play against it. He also got some broken bats on it. He got a couple of swings and misses on it, but it's not necessarily a swing and miss pitch. As Miz continues to mature and evolve, developing a go-to secondary pitch is going to be what separates him from being really darn good to elite, because he can't always land the slider for a strike, can't always land the curveball for a strike. But if he develops this cutter to have both ball to strike, strike to ball, and just get me over, that's when he becomes elite. And now you've got to contend with 97 with cut.
Well, it's interesting, you know, this great description that you had of what he went through here tonight and what he is developing now as a major leaguer. Just goes to show, this is a game, in my opinion, where he might take far more value of every one of his pitches, every one of his innings, the at-bats against a key member of this division if they're going to win a title, versus the game he had a few starts ago where it was 27 up, 27 down. It could have been a perfect game. It wasn't quite, but whatever. 95 pitches, complete game, all the great stuff. Everything you could go up to a guy and pat him on the back, say, great job. He knows it. But this is a game, to me, where he is going to take a greater amount of value into how to become that next-level pitcher. And I think it's great, Dom. You and I have done a lot of these post-game shows where he has pitched this season. And I'm telling you, I'm already feeling it right now. Every single one of these post-game shows we're doing is a different description of his start than the previous one and the one before that. This is how much this guy is learning. I mean, if we can break it down, imagine what this elite pitcher is learning along the way.
And I think the last thing on Miz, then we'll move on to the offense. I think what's so impressive, too, is that it's not a secret. I mean, this is 16 starts. That's half of a season for an average starting pitcher. It's no secret. He throws hard. He has a full arsenal. He's going to live in the zone, and they still can't touch it. I mean, his ERA has stayed flat at 1.45 for each of his last two starts. His ERA for the month of June is up to 0.96 after in May it was 0.23. I mean, we're talking about magic never been done before, like mound was lowered type stats, 1968 year of the pitcher stuff that he's in the realm of right now. And sometimes I think we need to sit back, relax, and go like, yeah, again, and he didn't have his best stuff today, and I'll stand by that take. It's impressive to watch him. You're right that every single one is a little bit different. But he wasn't the only reason the Brewers won this game. In fact, he exited down 1-0. The offense got themselves off the deck in the sixth inning. We'll talk about that, answer some texts, and some live chats as well, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Couple of homers. Some timely hits from the bottom of the order. Still struggling with runners in scoring position, though. We'll talk about that and some texts. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text. Hang out with us here on Brewers Extra Innings. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Couple of texts that have rolled in here. This one, 715 area code. So the Crew, they're second in the majors to ERA to the Yankees. They're second in total strikeouts to the Phillies. And they're second in batting average allowed to the Dodgers. Can we say this is the best staff in Major League Baseball? I think there's certainly a case for that. From Nick, what a win tonight. Fastest to 50 wins. And we only have to go 3-6 the rest of the way to own the tiebreaker on the Cubs. That's a good point there. The fact that the Brewers are out to a 4-0 start in a 13-game series head-to-head with Chicago. Mitch from Kenosha, what a big hit from G. Mitch. Also a huge shout-out to David Hamilton. Great night at the plate. Made some tough plays at the hot corner. And two walks for Pratt. He's been fun to watch. Cheers to 50 wins. Let's start with Garrett Mitchell in that sixth inning. You know, and you already alluded to it, but how deflating and how tragic could it have been, given all the opportunities the Brewers had missed already earlier in this game, including in the first inning, leaving the bases loaded, and then being down 1-0. You get the first two batters on in the bottom of the sixth inning. Meat of the order up for the third time through. Andrew Vaughn is getting a new pitcher coming in to face him. He hits a liner back to the mound, caught by Ethan Roberts. Turns around, throws wide to second, but it's still handled there at short. Touch the bag at second, then throw the first. If that throw is accurate at second base, that is a bona fide triple play because both runners had started running. Thank goodness it wasn't. But I'm just, what was your reaction, Greg? I'm just like, are you kidding me? This team can't buy a hit with a runner in scoring position right now.
Well, I didn't say, are you kidding me? I had some other language at that time shouting at the TV, Dom. But I mean, it would have been something. There's no question about that. If you're on the Cubs side, and it would have been absolutely devastating for the Brewers because we know what happened, you know, one batter later. But I mean, that's also baseball. That's the crazy thing about it. You know, the Cubs bring in Roberts and they're hoping to hold the Brewers right there. Nobody's thinking triple play at that point, but just the fact that they were a tick away from a triple play and getting out of that inning. And then Mitchell hits that home run. Roberts, if you just remember how this all unfolded, just starting that, what turned out to be the double play, this dude could not have been happier. And then not even a minute later, there was, I mean, he was pounding his hand into his mitt after that home run he gave up to Mitchell. That is beautiful stuff if you love division play. And obviously everything went in the Brewers' favor at that point. But Garrett Mitchell, I mean, my whole point with him, what does he hit, 6 home runs here this season? I feel like, Dom, almost every one of them has been really critical in these games. Besides this one, I don't know how many have, but it just seems that this guy comes to play at big moments in games. And I think it's great for him. The fact that he stayed healthy all year so far and everything, you know, has fallen into place for a guy that is a big-time major league caliber body and player and all that. This has just been great stuff for him, and I can't imagine how rewarding it's been for him so far.
Yeah, for Garrett, you're right. He's had 3 now go-ahead home runs, including tonight, out of the 6. So half of them have been extremely consequential because it changed the scoreboard. And to reiterate on Garrett and what he's been going through making adjustments at the big league level, today was his 69th game played, which is now tied for the most games he's played in a single season. It's the most games he's played consecutively without an injured list interruption. So knock on all the wood around you here real quick, but he played 69 games total in 2024. Reminder, he missed time twice that year with a broken finger and a hamstring strain. And then, of course, in 2024, he hit the clutch go-ahead home run, the game winner in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series against the Mets. And here's Garrett, 27 years old. His OPS is up to 758 now. His on-base is hovering around 350. He's got 22 extra base hits. Yes, the strikeouts are high. We know that. It's not breaking news. But you can break down by zone and look at that pitch that he hit out today, Craig. It was an elevated cut fastball. That's a pitch that he had struggled with in April and May. And I had Garrett on Brewers Weekly last week, and he said, look, I always knew I just needed games. I just needed to get back in the fight. I know I'm going to make adjustments. I'm asking for patience. The world is not a patient place, as you know, Craig. And to see him slowly continue to build moving forward, he hasn't really slowed down all the way to a halt. It seems like it's gotten better and better as the year's gone on.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, here's the thing, too. Going into this season, you know, the healthy spring starting out, everything's gone his way health-wise. Everybody knows what the storyline is with him. But getting a chance to play, and who knows, Dom, maybe going into this, the message that was flying under the radar was, this is your last shot. And if it was his last shot to really prove himself, that if he does stay healthy, he has a chance to showcase what kind of talent he has. The fact that he's done that is just unbelievable. I mean, and think about this. These numbers we're talking about this season for him are good, but could they be better? Is he an athlete that's elite enough if he stays healthy the rest of the way to make those numbers even better? We're talking clutch now, like what we saw tonight. And you're saying 3 of his 6 home runs have been game-changing, scoring changes. So I think that's great for him, but just showcases the ability. And one of the reasons why this guy was the number one pick by this franchise, just stay healthy and good things are going to happen to him. But he needed the opportunities. He needed the consecutive games, the consecutive at-bats, the opportunities in the outfield, everything. Just play every day and show what you can do. And this has been really, I think, kind of pleasing for a Brewer fan who sticks with these guys year after year after year and understands that they've got all this potential. It's fun to see. It really is.
It's been amazing. Now, before we go to break and talk about a couple of other pieces of the offense, I feel bad that it's fallen this far into the show to talk about Venezuela and to talk about William Contreras and Jackson Churio and all the Venezuelan influence on this team, of course, WBC and everything. Heavy hearts, if you're not aware, massive earthquakes suffered in Venezuela, massive loss of life. The infrastructure is not built for earthquakes. And even today, I went up to William and just checked in, you know, to all the Nestor Corridor, to Jackson Churio. I mean, the list goes on of Venezuelans that are just around this team on a daily basis. They all assure, like, their direct family friends are okay, but they have people, friends of friends, mutual friends. And to go and have the off day where you're calling home, you're FaceTiming, you're seeing all the videos on social media coming out, and you come out here today and you have to play a baseball game, it puts things into perspective. It's such a low bar to say, to put it into words, Craig, but I mean, looking at William after he hit that homer and the interview on television with Trisha Whitaker and the words he wrote on his chest protector, Churio, you could tell he changed his walk-up song to a traditional Venezuelan singer. I mean, this was a heavy, heavy day for those guys and for them to deliver the way they did. I know Venezuela is proud. They're looking for something to smile about right now, and those two are doing their best.
Well, it's pretty amazing that those two were part of that home run. I mean, right. Well, they were everything on the home run. You know, Contreras hit it and Churio was on base. But the post-game interview, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I was as teary-eyed, I thought, as well. Now, I'm not going to compare what William was going through, but I was very teary-eyed. It was emotional. We've had some bad things happen in our country, but natural catastrophes, I don't know how things compare to something that happens so quickly in an earthquake like this. And then as quickly as that happens, Dom, how long it takes to go through the rubble to find out who's alive and who's not. But to get the death toll right now and the missing people in the thousands and thousands is, I don't know, man. I give a lot of credit to those guys to still play the game and know that, you know, there's a lot of connections back in countries that size that are different here. So, I don't know. My heart pours out to the players who go through this, and certainly to the country who's furthermore, you know, living this right now.
Yeah. And talking to William today, he said that he's going to be able to share some more information of how to help, how people in Milwaukee and, you know, up here can help Venezuelans and to help. Because, look, it's a country that is going through a lot, obviously, this year with Maduro and everything else that's gone on the last 10 years or so in Venezuela. They want to make sure they get through vetted processes to make sure the right help goes into the right hands. So they're trying to make sure they get that right first and go through the right processes. People want to help, and I know Brewers fans will come out to help for some of their favorite players. And I'm happy for William to have a moment of sunshine despite what his home country is going through. Now, one more segment. It feels weird to talk about baseball now on the other side of that, but we will talk about baseball and we'll talk about what the heck's going on with scoring position and a couple key guys in this lineup here on 620 WTMJ. Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Well, Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home. With short and long-term financing options, you can call or visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Okay, the numbers are not pretty, Craig Kishon, talking about runners in scoring position. Tonight, the Brewers went a whopping 2-for-15 with runners in scoring position. As I backdate this, going back to Monday, so, and they weren't even great leading into the Braves series either. I'm just going to Monday because what's so odd is that the Brewers have now won 5 games in a row, and they've won their last 4, going 3-for-38 with runners in scoring position, one of the hits being Williams' homer tonight in the 7th inning. They have a 407 OPS with runners in scoring position over those last 4 games, and yet they went 4-0. Is it a common theme? Is it something going on? Because this has been going on since really the Cleveland series too right now.
Well, I don't know how to explain any of this other than the fact that, you know, baseball's a weird, funny game. And that's just, you know, the start of whatever you want to describe. It is really tough to break down. And I don't know how to do it. I feel like we've done this, you know, a few times each year in the last, you know, several years. Their offense just is quiet at times, but at the time where you think they're going to strike big, it's really interesting how they can get, you know, the bases loaded with one out, bases loaded, no outs, second and third, no outs, runner at third, nobody out, and come up completely empty as far as scoring runs. But thankfully, I mean, on the flip side, they're still in these games somehow. So when they do come up with that one single opportunity, like tonight, they were able to capitalize and take the lead on that Mitchell home run. But these are, to me, Dom, these are the quandaries that can haunt you in the postseason. And I think that's what we've seen the last couple of years. It's really hard to win playoff games when you go through stretches like this. Let's face it, it just is. And so this is part of the puzzle they somehow need to solve, and I'm not sure how they do that at this point. I mean, they're winning a lot of regular season games. We know we talked about 50 wins already, but I don't know, postseason wise, this has got to turn around.
Yeah, I think the thing too that worries fans, and the common theme that is, well, this is how they got eliminated and why they looked completely outmatched against the Dodgers, because their superpower was completely neutralized against LA in that NLCS. And then, quite frankly, it was even neutralized down at Wrigley, right? The person didn't get any big hits down at Wrigley in the two games that they lost in the DS. And, you know, honestly, sometimes the hardest questions get the simplest answers, and it's blunt, but it's true, and there's really no other way to say it, Craig. And I don't say this often, play better. Like, I mean, it's not like, I'm not saying, oh yeah, they're voluntarily not playing better. It's just like, it's just going to happen. It's not going to be like, oh, I need to make sure I look for a fastball and this. Like, no, it's just, you let the game come to you. You meet it halfway, in the words of Pat Murphy. And, you know, for some guys on this team, there have been an extended slump right now that, you know, not just with runners in scoring position, it leaks into other facets of your game, right? And I think that what Bryce Tarang is going through right now in the three spots, something's off with him. Good to see Yelich nearly hit a homer. PCA, what a heck of a play to bring that double back. But other than that, and a couple of ground balls to the right side, I'm still seeing swing and miss on breaking balls from Yelly. Those are two key pieces of this offense. Now, they're not the only ones not providing with runners in scoring position, I know. But it's a cliche, and it's low-hanging fruit, but it's true. The moment the Brewers get another opportunity, let's hope it's the first inning tomorrow, right? And it's Bryce Tarang or Christian Yelich with the opportunity to do it. And if they're the ones that break through with the double or the single to score two runs, and it feels like, finally. I don't have another way to analyze what they're going through right now.
Yeah, it's tough. There's no doubt. I mean, look, they had the eight-run inning in Atlanta, right? I mean, they're capable of doing stuff, but if you're doing that, you know, once a week or once every couple of weeks, it's going to be tough to, you know, especially when it comes to a postseason series, it's going to be tough. I mean, we all understand that. They've lived through it. But here's the thing. You know, the fact that you brought this up, that Murph continues to say you gotta meet the game halfway. I think this team is, as a whole, is still learning that process. At least I hope they are. And I think right now, all you can do is really hope that all the things that you learn in the game of baseball, you really pack into your brain and you understand it and you appreciate it. And you try to carry that on to the next game and the game after that. And are you going to be a winner every single time? Of course not. We know how the percentages go in baseball, but you have to continue to learn. And I'm convinced that this team and this system they've got going here with developing these players into winners that we're seeing here right now, that they're just going to continue to learn and take what they can and move on with that. I mean, championship teams they're built, and the best ones are built with their own players. And I really believe that they're doing it the right way here, but you gotta learn and make progress and move along. And I think this team's capable of doing that.
I agree. And the last note on Bryce Tarang, I'm looking at his month of June. He's hitting .247 for the month, which is lower than his standards. He's on bases down to .300, and I think the smoking gun right now for Bryce Tarang is he hasn't had a walk in seven straight games, and he's only got seven walks in the entire month of June. Tonight we saw him chase three pitches up and out of the zone that he does not need to be chasing. And the strikeouts are up this month. The walks are down this month. Just switch those levers the other way around. And, oh, yeah, just snap your fingers, Dom, and Bryce Durang is going to be fixed. But I'm just saying, hey, man, this dude was top 10 in walk rate heading into this month, and the walks have disappeared. That's do something you do well. And I think you start one day at a time saying, just you're not allowed to swing at a pitch until it's, you know, two strikes on you. And sometimes that can unlock a guy. Sometimes it's, you know, I'm just going to go up there and take and draw my walk and just get on base again. He hit the triple, obviously, on Wednesday in Cincinnati. But, hey, if Bryce is hitting third, welcome to the spotlight always being on you. And when you go into a slump, it feels worse than it actually is.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the hardest thing when you're in a slump and you can feel it and you know, a lot of the things you're used to having success at aren't going your way, the very first thing you're going to do is start pressing and think, you know what, if I see one early, I'm going to take a swing at it. And obviously, if that doesn't work out, then all of a sudden you just start out that at bat down in the count and you go down quickly like you're talking about tonight. So patience is huge, but it's the hardest thing, I think, to accomplish when you are pressing. And I'm sure is calm and cool and quiet as this guy is, everybody presses a little bit, and everybody goes through prolonged slumps at a time. The great players do. And maybe this is his point here right now. But it's good to note the, you know, all the numbers that you're pointing out, you know, are being pointed out to him and he's well aware of. So hopefully he's just going through something here right now and he can get things turned around quick.
Yep, let's do it sooner as opposed to later. Craig Kishon, appreciate you as always. We will talk to you again tomorrow as the Brewers and Cubs get ready to tussle again.
All right, looking forward to it, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. We'll hand out a player of the game here. I think it's easy to give it to Miz, but given all the baggage and everything else, I got to give it to William Contreras. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll hear from Garrett Mitchell as well. We'll hear from Pat Murphy, and we'll get some texts and some live chats here as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Little buy or sell. This is a good question from the text line. As the Brewers win 6-2, we're going to the bottom of the hour. We're going to 11:30 here. We still got a lot to get to. We got to hear from Garrett Mitchell. We got to hear from Pat Murphy. We also got to give you the highlights in this contest. But our buy or sell take, can the Brewers get to 100 wins this season? I think that's a great question, something we can open up in the chat line or on texts over on YouTube. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Could this be the year they go along over the 100 win mark, along with improving the runners in scoring position? What's up with the ABS challenges? Well, in yesterday's Brewers Weekly, we talked about the ABS challenges and tried to break down some of the numbers about why the Brewers give them all to William Contreras. I know William went 0-2 today, but hey, no one's 100% in ABS challenges, right? I mean, there's an average to it, and catchers are averaging about 58% of the time, right? So a little better than a coin flip. All right, he missed two. It is what it is. You're not supposed to go 100%, all right? It's hard to go 100%. Can't get enough of these Brewers-Cubs tilts. They are a lot of fun. This one from Reggie in Milwaukee. Miz has guts to get out of that jam in the sixth. Really nerve-wracking, but glad to see him pull through. Alex from Oshkosh, another electric outing for Jacob Mizorowski. Brewers hit two homers, so did the T-Rats. Shout out to the T-Rats up there. They're the Utter Tuggers tonight, I think I saw. Win number 50. This one from Doug. Division race is over. I don't know about that, Doug. There would be a total collapse, which there will not be. Concentrate on the best record, and Mitchell keeps getting big home runs. Big lift. Yeah, I'm not going to call the division over on June 26th. I'm just not going to do it. Even if it was 15 games, I'm not going to do it. I mean, look how we're all feeling about the Braves and the Phillies about a month ago. And look at that now. It's a four-game, maybe even less now. I haven't even looked at the out-of-town scoreboard. But don't call it. There's no point in calling it early. There's no point. There's no one wins in that scenario. Let's get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Bodie in Waukesha. Bodie, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, dude, how are we doing tonight after that win?
How's it going?
We're doing good. Any time the Brewers beat the Cubs in Milwaukee, it's always a good day. But any opportunity that we get to make fun of PCA and laugh at them when the Cub fans are driving back to Chicago, it's even better.
Appreciate the input there, Bodie. I think PCA is a really talented player. I understand, you know, he rubs some people the wrong way, and some of that's self-inflicted, of course, by PCA. I mean, the play he made on Yelly's ball today, that should have been a homer. I mean, 29 other center fielders have no chance on that ball, and he brought it back for a double. That was super impressive. His speed, his glide, it's really impressive. But yeah, Miz dominated him tonight. And Brewers fans obviously pile on when PCA makes a mistake. That's part of a rivalry, right? That's how Packers fans feel watching, you know, their quarterback, right? With Caleb Williams, I feel like Bears fans feel the same whenever they want to talk about Jordan Love, right? That's what rivalries do. It's supposed to be up to the line. Never cross the line, but get as close to the line without crossing. And that's the whole point. Fun environment here tonight. Appreciate the call, Bodie. Let's hear from Garrett Mitchell. He caught up with Josh Maurer in today's postgame show. Garrett, another homer, his sixth of the year, in good spirits, continuing to play well.
Garrett Mitchell downstairs. Thanks so much for sticking around, Garrett.
Yeah, no problem.
Whoo. It felt like this was going to be a frustrating night up to that point because you'd had so many offensive chances, and there was that crazy line drive double play that Andrew Vaughn hit right before you. How big was that, a breath of relief, not just for you, but do you feel like for everybody when you hit that ball over the fence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely was a breath of fresh air, like to get something to go our way. But like we always do, we just keep pushing, keep putting together good at-bats, keep putting guys in positions to succeed. Obviously, it doesn't always happen the way we want it to at first, but it's a long game. It's 27 outs. You keep going, and good things happen.
And then that would really set the offense on fire the rest of the way. Tell us about the pitch that you got there from Ethan Roberts.
Yeah, it was I got a cutter and didn't miss it.
No, you did not. And by the way, William Contreras certainly didn't miss his coming up that next inning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that ball was absolutely crushed.
450 feet almost. How does that noise level rank as far as noise that you remember hearing in this ballpark?
I mean, it's definitely up there. You know, with this series with the Cubs, every time at home, it's always going to be a rowdy one. You know, you got a lot of Cubs fans there as well, so it's just a back and forth, right? Like when they take a punch, you hear them, and when we punch back, we hear it too. You know, so just that atmosphere it's always electric. It's really fun to play in front of. You don't got to try to find the energy. The energy is given to you. So those games are always fun.
Garrett Mitchell with us here at the outset of the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel postgame show. Brewers beat the Cubs 6-2 tonight. What did you think of Jacob Mizorowski tonight?
Same old with him. Just taking control of the game, throwing a lot of strikes, being dominant, and he kept us in that game. You know what I mean? He had, you know, I know he would say he probably didn't have. Can you guys still hear me? Can you hear me still?
Yeah, we've got you.
Okay,
thanks,
sorry. I think it got ruffled. I know that I believe it was it the sixth inning?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so I know he would be the first to tell you that's not exactly the way he would want it to, but you know when he's on the mound, he's gonna do everything he can to give us a chance to win. And so him kind of putting that inning together for us, keeping them off the board there is huge. That's a big, maybe doesn't feel like momentum from the fans watching that, but from the players, that's a huge momentum boost. Like, that felt like, okay, we got to go get something done for this guy. Like, he's put us on his back today, and we got to go give it back to him. So applause to him for that, because he kept us in that game.
Yeah, and by the way, after he had that strikeout to end the sixth with the bases loaded, that's when you hit the home run. So yeah, it felt like that was a turning point for sure. Last one, you caught the last six
yep.
outs in this game. We were sitting here kind of laughing about it. It's like all of a sudden you had a magnet from the ball to your glove. What happened at the end?
Man, you know what? After the three in a row, I mean, I noticed it after the first two, but like after the third one, I was like, man, I was running around. And then going into that ninth inning, after I caught the second one, I looked at Sal and I was like, man, dude, I've gotten five in a row. And he goes, man, they're just trying to hit the ball up the middle. So on that last one, I think Jackson probably could have got it, but at that point, after I had five, I kind of wanted the sixth one, so I went for it again.
Garrett, it's always great chatting with you. Thanks so much, and congrats on a great win.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, Garrett Mitchell. I mean, you heard him on Brewers Weekly last week. I mean, the dude just oozes charisma, which is no surprise to anybody who spent time around G. Mitch. One of the favorites to talk to, and good to see him playing well. Let's hear from the surgically repaired Pat Murphy on the other side of the break. Yeah, a lot of talk about the ruptured disc and everything, and, you know, for some reason we showed it on Apple TV Plus today. That grossed me out, but that it is what it is. Murph was not shy about the operation that he went under yesterday, and we hear from Murph here on the other side of the break, here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. A name that I'm really annoyed with myself that I haven't mentioned yet is David Hamilson. Bottom of the order. Goes 0-for-4, golden sombrero on Wednesday. Right back in there after the off day, 2-for-4, triple, stolen base, run batted in. For Hamilton, I had this stat earlier and I tweeted it. I'll share it here and then we'll hear from Murph. The Brewers win David Hamilton does each of the following, okay? When David Hamilton just has a hit, okay, regardless of what kind of hit, when he just has a hit, the Brewers are now 24-5. 24-5 when David Hamilton just has a hit in the game. When he has two or more hits, they're now 8-1. When he has a stolen base, they're now 11-1. When you get production out of the bottom of the order, this isn't breaking news. You're going to win games. And David Hamilton helps with that while also playing great defense at third base tonight. Didn't even bat an eye about him playing defense. Cut off a couple of key balls early in this game. Huge, huge stuff from David Hamilton. Now let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's win.
That's a pretty good outing. Gets a team that knows him. Gets a very hot, very good offensive team, very mature offensive team. These guys know how to play baseball. I mean, say what you guys want. If you guys want to criticize the Cubs or whatever, I mean, you can if you want to. But these guys are good players. I know them, and they're good players. And, yeah, that was a good outing for Miz.
Murphy, you know, I'm always the guy that asks about the velocity.
But yeah, you do. Because, let's be honest, I mean.
That's what I'm all about.
You're tripped up on that. Yeah, that's good.
But I like 1.55 for Miz, third pitch of the game.
Got fouled off.
I took a hit on it too. But I mean, that's otherworldly, isn't it? When you talk about.
I mean, it's really good, but you know, it's one pitch. But I understand. You know, the kid is really talented and he's really capable. And you know, where does it stop? You know, I think there's a limit there, but I think that's a great thing. And he pitched, you know, many pitches over 100, but you got to locate it in the zone. And what was the pitch to Suzuki?
Slider, 90.1.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said there's a limit there. Do you feel like he's blown past what you thought the limit was?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he would be this year. I thought he'd go 102, 103, but I didn't think he'd go that high. But it is what it is. I want him to stay healthy and keep learning how to pitch and be able to use his off-speed pitches effectively when he needs them. You know, obviously in the first couple innings, he didn't need them. It's kind of tough to see with that glare too. And, you know, they waited him out. They did a really good job of getting his pitch count up and get him out of the game, give themselves a chance. We came up with some big hits. Mitchell's two-out homer, huge. And then Hamilton's heroics were great. Both defensively and offensively. Two guys at the bottom of the order, Pratt too. Those three guys, 7, 8, 9, did a heck of a job. Frelick comes in the game and hits a missile. You know, Yelly has two hits. Churio has two hits. Contreras has the big bomb and catches a great game. It's nice.
Mark Mitchell had that homer on the cut fastball up in the zone and just kind of, as the season's gone on here, he seems to have been making
He works at it. Nobody hits that pitch that Bryce is not hitting. That's a ball, but it's up, and it looks like a strike. And Mitchell doesn't hit that either, but, you know, it was a cutter coming into him, and it didn't quite get up there. So good job, and he works on it. He has those foam balls in there off the machine that throw like the balls that jump like that, and he practices on it. Yeah, I'm happy for him.
For Contreras, also Churio, to come up with some big hits. Just what was the day like for them in terms of just the emotions and everything?
Yeah, I mean, William plays with tremendous passion. You know, he had a great offensive game, obviously, swinging bunt, but a walk was big. And then the homer, oof, you know, it was something to put it out of reach or give us a cushion there. That was good. You know, Cherio's big double. His hands are so good. The last ball of the game he hit, too, was, you know, second last ball of the game he hit was fantastic. You know, now the defense, Terang's defense, you know, that play that on Crow Armstrong early, lead off the inning, it was great. You know, Churio had a nice running catch, but Hamilton's plays, geez. He made three beautiful plays, you know, at a position he hasn't played, you know, very much. That's great. He stole a big bag for us, base hit, triple, you know. Yeah, he was great. And Pratt, great game. So the bottom of the order, you know, contributed a lot tonight.
Murph, beyond the 105.5 fastball, Mizrowski pitched out of that bases loaded, got a mound visit. How cool was that moment and seeing that motion?
Yeah, he's done it all year. You know, he turned it up a little bit, you know, when he had to, and got the big, was it a punch out? Got the big punch out. Yeah, that's what he's capable of. Like I said, you know, that's not a, it's not a glitzy outing. He didn't get the win, Ethan, did he?
He did.
Oh, he did get the win. But, you know, it was a great outing. And it's tough to do it against opponents that you've pitched a lot against, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Is this an outing that kind of speaks to the difference between
last year and this year? Yeah, exactly. Mature enough to bear down and, you know, get that last out after two walks, you know.
He was great. I thought Miz grew up again. Like, we see this over and over. He grew up a little bit again tonight. And doing it against a playoff caliber opponent in the Chicago Cubs in a rivalry game in front of a sellout crowd. Gotta love it. So let's relive it. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this? This
brought it back. Ho, ho, ho.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Cubs, always an entertaining affair between these two rivals. Of course, the first time they're meeting in this ballpark since game 5 of the NLDS. The Miz back on the mound, starting things off hot against PCA.
Another two strike coming from Miz. And he struck him out with a breaking ball. First strikeout of the night for Jacob Mizrowski. It came on a curveball after seeing nothing but 102+. He broke off a 90-mile-an-hour curveball, and he strikes out Pete Crow Armstrong one away.
And he topped out at 105.5, the fastest pitch of his career during that at-bat. Later, PCA was greeted by his Team USA teammate, Bryce Terang.
Kicks, delivers, and a swing and a little roller past Mizrowski, charging his Terang. Bare hand throw to first, and in time. Oh, what a play by Terang. I'm sure the Cubs will take a look at this. Good stretch by Vaughn as well.
They never took a look at it. It stood. It was a heck of a play by Bryce Terang. Brewers, though, were struggling offensively. They had left 5 runners on base in the first 3 innings of this game. Then Seiya Suzuki goes yard on a slider in the 5th, and the Cubs open the scoring 1-0. In the 6th inning, Miz is still out there. He got the first 2 outs via strikeout, but then a single, a walk, an 8-pitch walk, and now decision time. You got bullpen movement. Do you keep Miz out there? Of course you keep Miz out there for Ian Happ.
Mizrowski at the belt. Kicks and deals. Struck him out swinging. Blew him away with a fastball at 103. Miz gets out of it.
Huge. It was his last pitch of the night at 107th pitch of the night at 102 miles an hour. The Brewers would need to respond fast. They had some bad luck in the bottom of the 6th inning on a line-out double play after getting the first 2 batters aboard. So, runner on first, 2 outs, Garrett Mitchell the batter.
1-0 pitch to Garrett Mitchell. Roberts sets and deals. And a fly ball to deep right center. It is way back. It is going to be gone. Garrett Mitchell. A two-run blast, and the Brewers have the lead.
In the blink of an eye, from getting out of a bases-loaded jam to then having the lead, the Brewers weren't done in the frame. The next batter, Cooper Pratt, drew a walk, and Hamilton got to running.
He stays put, and it's lined down the left field line, slicing, and it's a fair ball. Hat couldn't come up with it. It's bounding up against the wall. Pratt scores. Hamilton is at third with an RBI triple. Hat sold out, tried to make the diving catch up against the line. Had so much slice, Hap had no chance.
All that's left now is to really punch it home. And in the seventh inning, a great moment. Despite all the troubles and the playing with a heavy heart for the Venezuelan stars on this team, Jackson Churio aboard with a double, and William Contreras drives him home in a grand way.
1-2 is a fly ball to left. It's hit well. It's way back there. It is gone. Up over the Miller Lite landing and out of here for William Contreras. A two-run blast, and the Brewers lead it 5-1 here in the seventh.
The Brewers would also add an RBI double from Christian Yelich. That was a heck of a play by PCA. But nonetheless, with the leverage bullpen already hot and ready to go, Uribe, Ashby, and McGill had the final three frames, and they earned the victory 6-2 over the Cubs. The Brewers at 50 wins, the fastest they've ever made it to 50 wins, just 79 games to make it there, to remain in first place in the Central Division. 6 runs on 11 hits for the crew, no errors. They still left 9 runners on base. The Cubs, 2 runs on 3 hits, 1 error. They left 7 on base and went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. The winner is Miz. He is 9-3 with an MLB best 1.45 ERA. The loser is Ethan Roberts, who came out of the bullpen. He's 0-2. He also got a blown save. 2 hours, 55 minutes in front of 41,021 at the ballpark. All right, final thoughts, and then we preview tomorrow, coming up next on 620 WTMJ. All right, a few minutes left here. Popular topic in the text line. What's up with Ashby? What do you think about Ashby? Another topic we talked about in Brewers Weekly yesterday, so you should go watch it on ESPN Milwaukee, or you can listen to it in your podcast feed, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. So over on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, that's where we post Brewers Weekly now. We have it in video form. You could see my bald head there if you're watching on YouTube. And we also have some stats and video and trying to bring you into the deep dive world that goes on in my brain. Sometimes it can gloss over. I understand. I try to bring it down to be digestible and presented in a more entertaining way than it isn't just, you know, reading, you know, the old gray lady. It's just, well, and his whip was 1.15 and I'm sounding like Ben Stein, whatever it may be. But the Brewers with Ashby, one of the things that I diagnosed yesterday and talking to him about it too, is that he knows his sinker is what's holding him back right now. It just hasn't been coming out right this whole month. And when you look at some of the numbers, he's just getting hit in the zone with it, and he's missing up with it, middle and up. And you can't throw sinkers middle and up because they're going to get punished. He's not getting the same ground ball rate that he's been getting. And then on top of it too, he's walking guys today without getting swing and miss. But I also want to hit the pause button too, because nobody in the Brewers bullpen got a strikeout today. Yeah, Uribe, Ashby, and McGill. None of them got a strikeout today. I think that's partially due to the Cubs' talent. The Cubs are the hardest team to strike out in baseball. It's either Cubs or Blue Jays. They alternate all the time. The Brewers are in the top five as well. But the Cubs are the hardest team to strike out in baseball. And Miz did it 8 times today. So the way I see it for Ashby is it starts with the heater, of course. His sinker's been a little bit off right now. I do think he needs a breather. I also think that Trevor McGill pitching in a 4-run game was not necessary when you had Robert Gasser warming. But Murph has this belief that a 4-run lead is still a safe situation, which it's not. But he wanted to get the job done, which is fine. Trevor McGill gets in there, gets an appearance, doesn't get a save. So that's something to monitor, where their workloads. I mean, we're not even at the 81-game mark, and they're both on a pretty high workload pace right now. It's something to monitor moving forward. I do believe Ashby will get right. And honestly, it all coincides to pitching at elevation. It coincides going back to Vegas, right? Get back, get recalibrated. He'll be A-OK. The All-Star break will be good to Aaron Ashby. a trade proposal in the live chat too. What do you think about Willie Castro? I don't think he's a fit. I didn't think he was a fit 2 years ago or last year when he got acquired. I don't think his ball strike is good enough. We've already seen what happens when you have a light hitting switch hitter on this team. If you catch my drift, where's he going to play? And again, between Joey Ortiz and David Hamilton, that would be making a move for the sake of making a move, right? You're not, Willie Castro isn't going to provide more or like drastically more than what Joey and David Hamilton can provide. And remember, plays at Coors, his numbers are inflated. Another thought too about the Brewers right now and what they're going through is their rotation. Robert Gasser was loosening up in their bullpen right now. He was going to pitch that ninth inning if the Brewers, I guess, made it a 5-run lead. But he is going to be needed in that bullpen moving forward as they begin today was game one of 18 games in 17 days. The reason for that, of course, is the doubleheader, not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday in St. Louis when the Brewers finish their first half on a three-city road trip between Arizona, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. So they're going to need Gasser down there. Jared Koenig returned today. We'll hear from Jared Koenig in tomorrow's Brewers warm-up. Tomorrow, first pitch is scheduled for 6:10. We're on the air at 5 o'clock, and we'll be right here on 620 WTMJ. We'll hear from Jared. We'll hear from Murph. We even talked to Craig Counsell a little bit today as well, caught up with him. He had some funny stories about going to Summerfest as a young man, and let's just say he wasn't there for the music. He was laughing about that. It was a good time. But that is going to just about do it for our program here tonight. Again, we're on the air at 5 o'clock tomorrow as the Brewers will send Kyle Harrison to the mound against the Cubs. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Until tomorrow, keep on swinging.